I just think there's a lot of things to choose from the menu, so to speak, when we're talking about priorities. And for the Christian, we want to, our priorities need to, we need to make sure that our priorities are being designed by God. When we have all these things out there to choose from, we need to make sure that we're really spending time to let God be the one to design our lives. Our lives are kind of too important to leave up to us. So my name is Denise Buckley, and I'm very excited to be here today to talk to you about priorities. And as I was working on this talk, I was, I don't know, maybe two drafts in, I couldn't get a piece about it, and I couldn't figure out why until it hit me. I do not want you to leave tonight thinking that I have this down. I do not live my life perfectly prioritized. Some days are great, and I end the day and think, yes, I did what God wanted me to do today. And many days, I'm way off the mark. And I didn't want you to think that because I'm up here talking that I have this down, because I don't. I think it's a day-by-day, sometimes hour-by-hour thing that we need to do, is to go to God and ask him what our priorities are. I do have a really, I think, a super funny story. As I wrote that down, that's literally in my notes, I my computer faces this way, and I have kind of this window that I had open because the sun was shining. And sure enough, as I'm doing this, a man on a bicycle swings into my driveway, and his partner about 30 seconds later. I have lived in Utah for 20 years, and that was the first time I ever had missionaries visit me. When I was doing this talk on priority, so I'm like, all right, Lord, you obviously want me to answer the door because I am ready. It was a short conversation because they didn't know this mama was ready to share with them the priorities that God designs. So first of all, I want to talk about the tyranny of the to-do list. And I love to-do lists. And I, when Jeannie and Mary came up with the list of topics for Ladies' Night, I'm sure you picked January priorities in January for a reason. Because we're all talking about resolutions and what do we want to do this year. And maybe we might have written them down. We might be reciting them. Maybe have them on your phone. I have a friend who used to write them on her hand. It would make me nuts because that's just messy to me. But I love to-do lists. And I'm sure if right now I said to you, tell me all the things you need to get done tomorrow, most of us could have a list in seconds. If I said to you, tell me all the things you need to get done before you go to bed tonight, you could probably do that too. And I don't want you to. I want you to try not to think about those things tonight. But that's how we live. I think as moms, as women, We are kind of wired that way, and things need to get done, right? Someone needs to do the laundry. Someone needs to make dinner, and someone needs to organize those things through the day. And so when I was given this topic in June, my first thought was, oh, easy. This is so easy. I am a list person. I love them. I have a daily list. I have a monthly list. I have a list for work. It's just how I'm wired. And I thought, oh, this will be super easy. Except that, of course, God never gives you a topic that is super easy because he's trying to teach us something. So the queen of to-do lists learned that to-do lists are often, and I meant to click this and you would only see that one, are often tasks that are designed by me. It's a list that I decide that this is what needs to get done today and this is what I think it should look like. Our priorities, on the other hand, are things that are designed by God. They're not things that Denise says should get done today or get done in her life, but they are things that God says should get done. So as a Christian, we need to make sure that our priorities are being designed by God. Rest assured, I am not going to tell you to get rid of your to-do lists. If that is how you're wired, I think they can be good things. It's just that we need to discern what is a task on our to-do list and what is a priority that is designed by God. So, how do we discern? Like I said, I'm not going to ask you to give up your to-do list. In fact, I'm going to share with you a couple of mine tonight. Lists can keep us on track. Lists can help us make sure that we're actually reaching our goals. A couple weeks ago in church, Bill talked about setting spiritual goals for the year. And he mentioned that a couple years ago, and I took him to heart. And I said, all right, Lord, you know, in 2016, the one on the left, I said, what are some of the things that you want me to be focusing on this year to get to know you more, to grow spiritually? I do, and they're right by my purse where no one can use them. That was not my priority. Anyway, so I set a few spiritual goals, simple things. Read your Bible, spend time in prayer, do memory madness. And my list helped keep me accountable for 2016. It was a way for me to go back and say, all right, am I doing the things that God has asked me to do? Am I following his priorities with this to-do list? Lists can also help organize our lives. A few years ago, we brought our daughter home from China, and at that point, I went from being a working mom to being a stay-at-home mom. I had two teenagers and a two-year-old, and life just went nuts. And I didn't know how to use my time well, and I wasn't quite sure what I was doing with my days. And so I sought God, and I thought, Lord, can you help me prioritize? And again, because I'm a list person, for me, it worked to put things on a piece of paper. Focus on God. Focus on your family. Focus on taking care of yourself. Focus on serving. And so those things just helped me manage my life. So daily to-do lists can be super helpful, and they're a good tool, but they are not meant to induce guilt. I think too often we put things on our list, and if we don't do them all, we're like, oh, well, that day was a waste. Or that day, I had a horrible day because I only did two of my four things. Or as women, we usually put like 17 things down on the list, knowing full well we only have time to do seven, and then we still get on ourselves if we don't get them all done. Well, that's not the good use of a to-do list. They're not meant to induce guilt, and they're not meant to measure your day. They're simply meant as a tool, perhaps, to help you stay accountable to God's priorities. The other important thing to remember about to-do lists is you need to leave room, margin, if you will, space around the to-do list for God's leading. It could be that you have 14 things lined up today that you're going to get your house clean and your laundry done and make your husband's favorite meal, but then you find out that your neighbor's sick and she really needs someone to watch her kids for a couple hours. And so we need to not hold on to our to-do list tightly but loosely, and leaving room for God to say, hey, you know what, I have a whole different to-do list for you today, and to be okay with that. That's probably the area I struggle with the most, because I really like to check those things off. And so if you're a to-do list person, you write those down, and you look at them, and you ask yourself, does my list have balance? Am I doing too much of one thing? Am I spending too many days outside of my house, because I have all these to-do lists that are outside of the home, and I really need to be inside the home? Or am I spending a whole bunch of time worrying about fitness and healthy eating? And those things are super important, but am I out of balance? And so I think we look at our to-do list and we ask, is there balance? Am I focusing on the things God wants me to focus on? And then we take those things to God and we line them up with his priorities. One of the things that struck me in studying for this is that God's priorities are both corporate and personal. Corporate meaning for the whole church. He has certain priorities that he shares for all of us, that he wants all of us to focus on. And he also has priorities that are super personal for each of us, things that he's going to speak about directly into your life. And always, God's priorities reveal his heart and show us more about who he is. And what I love is that God says, I'm not going to keep these priorities a secret. I'm going to put them all over my word, and you just need to go and look for them. And I just picked a couple verses tonight. You can go, especially in Proverbs, which I didn't mention at all tonight, but there's a whole bunch of places to go and find out what God's priorities are. He's not trying to hide them from us. He wants us to know. And so the first verse is Matthew 6:33. Which says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Don't you love how God does that? He doesn't say, I'm not going to tell you what the first thing to do is. I'm just going to let you guess. Nope. He says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. So seek first what God wants, not what the world wants. Seek first what God is doing, not what the world is doing. When we're seeking his righteousness, I actually looked that word up because I think righteous is one of those kind of Bible-y words, holy words that sometimes we don't really know what it means, and it sounds bigger than what it is. And righteous is simply this: the quality or state of acting in an upright way. So what God wants us to do is act the way he tells us to act. So when we're seeking his kingdom and his righteousness, we're just seeking to be more like him. And we know what some of those things are. God wants us to love. God wants us to forgive. God wants us to glorify him. Those are things that we know should be priorities in our lives. Later in Matthew, someone comes up to Jesus and says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." So when people sought Jesus and said, "How are we supposed to prioritize our lives?" he says, "Love God. Love him a whole lot. Love him with your mind. Love him with your emotions. Love him with your whole being." Or in other words, seek his kingdom. And he said, "And the second thing I want you to do is love your neighbor." In other words, seek his righteousness. Jesus is telling us that if we are wondering what we should be doing, love God, love your neighbor. Those are your two priorities. And the last one I picked is my favorite verse, my life verse. And I think, I often say I picked it, but I think God picked it for me because he knows how I'm wired and I wanted to be told what to do. And Micah 6:8 says, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." So he breaks it down. How am I supposed to act, Lord? How am I supposed to be righteous? Act justly. Love mercy. Walk with me. So if we look in the Word, God is going to reveal what his priorities are. And the other thing that I love, these are just some of the things we've talked about, is that God's Word also gives us confidence that we can know what these things are. He doesn't say, "I have these priorities, I hope you can seek and find them, and good luck with that." He says that, "I am going to equip you to know what they are." The first thing that it takes is some faith. And in Romans 3:21 and 22, it says, "But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe." And part of this verse is saying that once you believe in Jesus, you have his righteousness. But what I love about it is, if we have his righteousness, that means we know his righteousness. So he's not hiding it from us. If we have faith in Jesus, Jesus is going to say, "These are the things I want you to focus on." He's going to show us what they are. And it's also going to take a little work. So God says, "I'm going to give you faith, and in that faith, I'm going to give you my righteousness, and you're going to know what's important to me. And then I want you to apply some self-discipline to live that way." But he doesn't say we have to come up with the self-discipline. In 2 Timothy 1:7, he says, "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." God's Spirit gives us the discipline we need to have the faith we need to act in righteousness. And then I just thought this was so awesome. Well, what happens when we don't feel like having that self-discipline? Or what about when we fail in that? Well, then he's going to give you the Holy Spirit. In John 14:26, it says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." So on those days when you're like, "I know what I'm supposed to do, but maybe I don't feel like doing it," that Holy Spirit is going to come in and nudge you and say, "Remember, I'm going to remind you what it is that Jesus wants you to do." When I'm in that argument with my husband and I don't feel like forgiving, I just want to hold on to that grudge and kind of be really mean back. Well, I know by faith that I'm supposed to forgive, and I know I'm supposed to have the self-discipline to do it. The Holy Spirit's going to remind me, you know what? It's worth it. It's worth following God's priorities, because you're actually going to feel better an hour from now if you do what I want you to do. Philip Yancey says it this way: "The Spirit speaks, awakening my conscience, reminding me of failures, stirring my compassion and sense of justice, and aligning me with God's will. We can trust that God has given us faith, he's given us a spirit for self-discipline, and then he also gives us his Holy Spirit that will remind us and align us with God's will. I think that's pretty cool that God says, my priorities are you're going to find all of them in my word, and I'm going to equip you to find them and live them out. I just find that, like, that's so cool that he doesn't hide anything from us, and he equips us to live that way. So those are sort of the corporate priorities, what I would call. But what about those personal ones? What about the times when he's going to speak to your heart individually and following those priorities? K. Arthur wrote, I believe in the truth found in Romans 12, 1 and 2. If I have presented my body to him as a living sacrifice, and I have, and I'm being transformed by the renewing of my mind, then I'm able to prove, to put to the text, what his will is. He will show me that which is good, acceptable, and perfect for me. In his word, God promises that he's going to show us what is good and acceptable and perfect for each of us. He has plans for each of us, and he is going to show us what those are. And because God's created each of us uniquely and individually, the way he's going to share those priorities is going to be different. You know, for some of us, it might be quiet time. For some of us, maybe it's going to be through art or music because we're all made differently. But I think there are a couple tools that will help us be able to hear him better. And the first one, you can guess, is prayer. Prayer is the way that we're going to talk with God. It's the way we hear from him. It's the way we can tell him our needs and ask our questions. And it's going to be that relationship. Jesus taught us how to pray. He modeled prayer, so we know that it's important. This is one of those things that should be on our to-do lists, is prayer time. And really, when you pray, doesn't matter. Where you pray, doesn't matter. It's just that you need to be praying. Bill Hybels, I read a book on prayer by him recently, and he said, Jesus assumed that his followers would make time for prayer. Some people have a prayer time even before they kick off the covers in the morning. Others pray over coffee or at lunch or right after work or school or after dinner or just before bedtime. The time of day we choose for prayer doesn't matter so long as we keep it faithfully. So we need to be faithfully seeking God and asking him, Lord, what is it you want me to do in my life? What are my priorities? And when we're praying that way to God, we also need to expect to hear. We need to pray expecting that he's going to give us, like it says in James 1:5, the wisdom that we need. That verse says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So ask him, Lord, what is it that you want me to do with my day? Lord, what is it you want me to do in this situation? Lord, what is it you want me to do with my career? Lord, I just got fired. What is it you want me to do next? He is going to answer those when we go to him in prayer, expecting to hear from him. After prayer comes obedience. And sometimes obedience has to come before prayer. But we can't simply go to God and say, Lord, tell me what your priorities are. Okay, that one I like, that one I'm not going to do. If we're seeking him and saying, hey, Lord, teach me what you want me to do, we have to be prepared to obey what he says. Priscilla Shire said it like this, how you choose to respond to God is more important than hearing from him. He doesn't just speak to be heard, he speaks to be obeyed. If you are going to seek God for his priorities, you're going to have to be willing to obey him no matter what he says. And that becomes a lot easier if we're trusting that God's plans are the right plans. If we trust that God's priorities really are the best priorities for us. You guys know the verse, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. If we really trust that God's plans are good, that God's plans are best, then it's going to be so much easier to obey, and then it's going to be so much easier to go to him in prayer. Because we know that what he has for us is really the best that could possibly be for us. And so we trust in that. Going back to Romans 12:2 again, this is the verse that I mentioned just at the beginning of this. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We need to trust that God's priorities for us are good, they're pleasing, and they're perfect. And that takes a lot of faith. But if we can have that trust and then we can obey and do what he says, we're going to be living in his priorities and we will be blessed by those priorities. So we found out to-do lists are good, a good tool. God gives us his priorities in his word. He then equips us to live out those priorities, and then he's going to share personal priorities with us. And now I'm up here to tell you that the priorities don't really even matter. The priorities aren't the priority. Having a relationship with God is the priority. The ultimate goal of knowing God's priorities for your life is more than having the right answers about what to do next. The ultimate goal is having a relationship with the Lord. Seeking his priorities is not simply another thing to put on our to-do list. Seeking his priorities allows us instead into his plans and his heart, into his character. We get to know his word, we get to know his spirit, and seeking his priorities keeps us chasing after him, knowing more of him. So really, more of him is our priority. If we are knowing more and more about God, that's really all we need to know. God wants us to know his heart because he created our hearts. And when we know our Lord's heart, that's our priority. So I want to wrap up tonight with a little story that I think God has been using in my life these last couple months to drive this point home for me. And you know, my story might be a little creepy, might be a little nitpicky. You might be like, Denise, you are going over this with a fine-tooth comb. We got it. If you picked up on any of those innuendos, you know I'm about to talk to you about head lice. Creepy, nitpicky, and fine-tooth comb. And if you had no idea, you say thank you right now that God's priority was not that you ever had to deal with head lice. I took a new job this summer, and I'm working at a school, and I was in my very first week of school, first full week. And it was a bit rough. On Monday of that week, we dropped our daughter off at college and left, and you just cry the whole way home, and you expect that, and that's that. On Wednesday of that week, my son Gary flew to Ecuador. He was going to spend the semester studying there, and he was kind of off the grid, and we weren't quite sure what the visa thing was, what was going to happen, and so that was a little anxiety-producing. And then Friday morning comes, and I am going to end this week strong. I'm sitting in my office, and I'm going to just wrap up this week of this brand new job, and it's going to be great. And I get a phone call from the secretary, and she says, Denise, you got to come down because Tora has head lice. And I had not dealt with head lice before, and I hung up, and I turned to my colleague, and I said, I can't do this. Like, I got no reserves. I have nothing left emotionally. I have nothing left physically. I am exhausted, and I can't do this. Well, when it's head lice, you can't say that because they want you to come get your kid and get her out of the school and take care of this. And so that's what I did, and we went to Walgreens and asked the pharmacist, how do we do this? And you know, everyone gives you a lot of space when your kid has head lice. Yeah, walking through with a little bubble. But so you buy all the products, and it's like a multi-step thing. You got to put stuff on their hair and wait and rinse it and all this stuff. And Tora was great. She had a great attitude through the whole thing. And you get to the point, and they say, this is the most important part. If you don't do this right, it's coming back. And you will do anything. I don't care what they say. They say it has nothing to do with cleanliness. They say it's not gross. You will do anything to make sure this doesn't come back. And so I read all the instructions, and you have to have garbage bags and hair clips and paper towels and this special comb, like I told you about, and a hair gel. And so I sit Tora in front of the TV. She's thrilled because this is going to take 2 hours. And we're doing all this stuff. And I told you I was not at a strong point. And so as we're going through inch by inch of her beautiful long black hair, doing the fine-tooth comb to make sure we get every knit and every egg and make sure it's all gone, I just kept saying, Lord, will you help me to see what I need to see? And I'm wiping this stuff off. And help me to see. Lord, don't let me let anything left behind in her hair. And about 45 minutes in, it occurred to me, you know, this is a great way to live every day of life. Lord, help me to see what I need to see. Lord, when I'm counseling a student at school and they're really being ornery, help me to see what I need to see. Help me to see their heart. Lord, when I'm talking to my adult child who has all the answers in the world except for the one staring him right in the face, Lord, help me to see what I need to see to be a good and patient mom in that moment. Lord, when I'm seeking you and saying, what should I do next? You know, my kids are getting older and I want to go back into the working world. Lord, help me to see what I need to see. And so that's my prayer for you tonight, that as you go out and seek God's priorities and try to find out what it is that he wants from you, that you would just ask him every day, every hour sometimes when you need to, Lord, help me to see what I need to see. Thank you.